Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com. And there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come join us early on Monday at 7 p.m. for Keeping It Brief. Then come back and hang with our Wild Dove Blue and Nature and Passion in Nature and Front Page Picks at 10 p.m. Dig into the Twisted Thoughts, the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesdays. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Sound Art with Scott and Pam and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon from the Northern Climes, bringing you Bad Company and exploring Ecphasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday mornings, and Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Fridays are split between Echoes in the Dark and Break On Through with Pam, and join Aphasiana and Babel on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you can do SoundClouds, attach them to your poems, and we will be glad to air those read in your voice. Good evening, Jean.
Hi, Rex. I got you again. I was only about 3 seconds slow tonight, though. I almost got you good. But nope.
Well, you did.
Were
I only got 6 words out before I had to redo it.
You got to take a breath each night now. I'm a little slow on that button, I guess. I don't know what happened, but I fell apart. So I'm good. And how are you? Things are good?
Yes.
Very good. Glad to hear that. Yeah. It's cold here, Rex. Cold here.
Yeah, cold it's been a, that way, too.
Yeah.
Cold is a witch's tee-tee, as they say.
They say. That's what they say. I've never personally experienced that, but I got to say, you know, I believe them if they say it's true.
Yes. They
anyway.
Call them icicles.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, yeah, it's chilly, and I'm not happy about that, but it's okay. This too shall pass. I say that a lot, this too shall pass. I don't know. It usually does, but it's just a point. I have to make excuses for everything. And just so you're aware, I picked up Pam just now. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Jean. Hi, Rex. Good to hear you both.
Hello.
Oh, happy Sunday. I almost said happy Friday. Good Lord. I'm just a little confused. And
I get that. Confusion has been...
We got Robbie on the board and Randy on the board. And Q is offered up is the first note to Blobless coming up. Instead of finishing. So again, we got double the dose on Blobless tonight. We
there
start
you
out
go.
With it and we'll be done with it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I do want to tell you that before I ask you about our topic for tonight, I want to let you know, I believe we have Randy on the line. It's 816 number. Hello, hello.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing this evening?
It was Randy. I'm glad he said hello in the room. That's how I knew. It's good to hear you, Randy. Oh my gosh.
Glad to be here.
It's good to
well,
have
we're
you.
Glad to have you too. You're a big fan.
I am indeed.
There you go. Yeah, Randy's great for a Sunday night. He's
He's also a male on the Blues Breakers fan. So, Randy, why don't you tell us a couple of things about what you know about John Mayall and his Blues Breakers?
Well, I actually became aware of him pretty early. 1966, and got into his stuff. I know, you know, he's the godfather of British blues. A wonderful nose for talent. I mean, he, over the course of the years, has had so many great guitar players in his band that it's really miraculous. And I've always been a favor. And the first album of his that I bought was the Blues Breakers, John Mayall with Eric Clapton. and from then on, even more. I had that album when I went to Vietnam, my younger brother, started playing some of my records, and he got into Mayall, and my brother's 7 years younger than me, so, you know, he was only around 11 or 12 at the time. So he got an early dose of John Mayall at that point. And I remember when I came back from Vietnam, the first thing I did was go out and buy a nice new stereo. And some of the records that had come out while I was gone, like Sgt. Pepper, Their Majesty's Satanic Request by the Rolling Stones,
yeah.
And John Mayall's Crusade album, among them. Like Bob Dylan, John Wesley Hardy. You know, I just went out and gobbled up a bunch of albums that had come out while I was gone, and of course John Mayall had to be one of them.
I don't blame it. I picked this album because of what it represents, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers with Eric Clapton. It was called the Beano album back in the day because it had them all sitting on a bench reading Beano, which was a comic strip back in the day, something I remembered from before we moved here. So that was a cool note. Right now he's, I believe they're calling him the elder statesman of rock and roll and blues, because he's 90 years old now. His 90th birthday just came in November last year. So he's walking into number 91 this year, and he's still playing. He was born in Macclesfield, Cheshire, 1933. He did a tour in Korea as part of his national duty. I guess that would be about 52, 53. And one of his first breaks from that war, he spent some time in Japan where he bought his first electric guitar. In fact, his father was a jazz guitarist. So John taught himself how to play guitar, keyboards, and harmonica as a youth. And he got his career kicked off somewhat that way because he enjoyed the music of Leadbelly, Albert Ammons, Pine Top Smith, Eddie Lang. He was traditional blues. He grew up with that stuff. Anyway, when he came back, he enrolled in the Manchester College of Arts. He graduated, I think, somewhere in the late 50s with a degree in, and that helped him too, because he actually put together most of the covers for his album, because he was an artist as well. So got a job as an artist, but then he decided to move full time into music. It's going to be somewhere around 1962 or so, and he started playing in a group. Him and another friend from the art school formed called Powerhouse Four, and they started playing local clubs. And he started making friends, and they introduced him around and helped him get gigs in the early days. And as Randy, you said, grandfather of British blues, yes. The town was small back then. Everybody knew each other, and they all tended to gravitate towards each other as well. You can believe the massive town that actually went through the Blues Breakers back in the day. Anyway, in 63, he got his first couple of recordings. In 64, he signed his first record deal. And then in 65, Eric Clapton joined the group after he quit the Yardbirds in April. And that's when everything started to take off for Mayall and his group. This album was marked the first one, and it showed a new dynamic, a new progression in what Mayall wanted to impart going forward. And he got that with Clapton, who was out for a little while during 65, because he took a break and went to Greece with a couple other guys and formed another band called The Glands. But Mayall had promised them, hey, anytime you come back, you're my boy. So in the meantime, Peter Green took over lead guitar responsibility during the summer of 65. Eric came back later on that year, somewhere around November, and they put together this lovely album that we're going to dig into tonight. Peter Green moved on. He also came back again later on. As you know, Peter Green, along with John McVie, and later drummer Nick Fleetwood, played a few months with John Mayall. They went on to form Fleetwood Mac. Roger Dean played lead guitar with them for a little while. He moved on to play with the Stones. We had bass guitarist Jack Bruce also had a stint in the Blues Breakers. And him, Eric, and Ginger Baker formed Cream later on, late 66. And that's just a little bit of the talent that rolled through this era, which was really small in London, but they all seemed to have come upon each other at a time when the blues was really walking through the hearts, minds, and souls of a lot of really great musicians. So So you've got people went on to form a figure of Maggie with the Stones, and Manfred Mann, and a host of other players. Anyway, late 64, they all got a running gig at the opening act for, oh crap, now I'm going to forget his name. Damn it. Bloody hell. Uh-oh, I just went brain fart. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, it's time to go to 65.
Oh, no, there was a group that came over from the States playing blues, and they were the opening acts for that, damn it, no, that's going to bother me until later on when I finally figure it out. Mick Taylor has also run through this group. Damn, now I'm bothered. Rats.
As soon as you move forward, I'll come into your brain.
Oh, yeah, as soon as I do, somewhere about 2 hours from now, I'll remember. Oh, hell.
Now you sound like me.
No, that was because that group was the premier sound coming over from the States at that time, and that just went right through me. Ooh, that's not a good thing. All right. I'm off on a really good footing right there. Bloody hell.
Yeah. That's okay, Rex. You'll get it later. I'm telling you, it's going to pop into your brain. See?
John Lee Hooker. John Lee Hooker came over in 64, and they were the front men for their tour. Through Britain and Europe, I guess. So I finally got that one. Ouch.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, you behave quick, and he's picking on you. Friday night, they pick on me. Sunday night, they pick on you. See how it is? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I thought I couldn't have had that momentary lapse of reason.
Back at that time, American, the black American blues scene was more popular in England than it was in the U.S. And a lot of the English bands from the early English invasion, the British invasion, had all been influenced by American black blues. And they when they became popular in the U.S., revitalized that and brought it to the forefront.
You're absolutely right. Because back then, too, it was like around 65, 66, too. Hendrix had to move to London to actually get his notice and appreciation. You're right, because everything back then, if you look at late 50s, early 60s, you were looking at a Chuck Berry and company. They're walking into the new angle of rock and roll, and the old blues style hadn't quite caught up yet, but they were adored and revered in the early days in England. Everybody wanted to hit on that note of blues because it resonated deep within their hearts and minds, as well as their souls.
Gotcha.
And some of the music tonight are covers of classics. Got Ramblin' on My Mind, kind of Clapton's note to Robert Johnson. So everybody back then understood what the blues was all about in England. They just the music was just it spoke volumes, especially considering you're looking at the time from the from mid 40s on. It was all rebuilding. It was all about what was destroyed after the war. And everything was in a rebuilding mode, and everybody was looking at something different, something a little bit further from what they were used to because of what happened.
Gotcha. all kinds of stuff going on with this one tonight.
There's a lot of great tunes. I opened up with the instrumental because, most people don't take the instrumentals, but I thought it was fitting. And Randy went with a note to celebrating. So we're going to hit on Randy's. I dropped him with an instrumental too, the other one, which is a really good piece, and kind of sits nicely with Randy put forth for us. So we're going to start off next with that, I guess.
Okay. Well, let me go and this one's called Stepping Out. And here we go. Got a lot of personality. Okay.
That was what they. This album got a great review from the critics because Clapton added a touch of a nice bit of aggression, they called it back in the day. So it held a dynamic for the sound that they were producing.
There you go. Well, can't argue with that, can you?
Was that a cover of Memphis Slim songs?
I don't know offhand, but that opening note, it reminds me of something else because I keep hearing that clip here and there over the years, and I never could place it.
See this? 'Tis a puzzle, I tell you. Yes. The first piece that goes with that song is by Randy G. Imagine that, and it's called Bluesmaker. So whenever you're ready, Randy.
Okay, I got to refresh here. I'll see it.
Okie doke.
Yes, mine is Bluesmaker, and rather than write a poem about the album itself or a song, it's the more of a tribute to John Mayall and his career and a lot of the people that were involved in it. So it's Bluesmaker. John Mayall, known as the godfather of British blues, has been around for many years and paid his dues. With a nose for musical talent, he's built many a band, always doing things his way. Excellence is demand. From the beginning, Mayall was a tough taskmaster. He went through musicians, but still avoided disaster. First, it was Eric Clapton, the guitar player supreme. Lasted 2 years until he left to start his band Cream. Entered Peter Green, another great guitarist of the time. Good for 2 more years before he reached his line. And leaving, he formed Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. But Mayall was unperturbed and never looked back. Picking up guitarist Mick Taylor, filling that zone for a few years until he joined the Rolling Stones. Mayall, ever the hardcore blues man, continued on. Throughout the 70s into the 80s, still going strong, with guitarists like Coco Montoya and Walter Trout. Keeping the music flowing, John never had a doubt. Then Buddy Whittington became Mayall's main man. Carrying the guitar load, he helped fulfill John's plan. At 90 years of age, Mayall, a legend in his own time, and remembered today just as he was in his prime. The godfather of British blues, his title from the start, living and breathing the blues, a music of the heart, in poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, come on.
All right, yes. Definitely a great read, and I'm very glad you were inspired. What a wonderful tribute to a man and a musician who had so much talent and heart. And as you were saying in the beginning of the show, Randy, really a nose for finding talent. And the people he worked with, like, you know, Eric Clapton and Mick Taylor, I mean, a lot of great names all the way through his career. And I really like this all the way through, the rhyme, the flow, the imagery, your attention to detail. But I like that you open it up with John Mayall, known as the godfather of British blues, has been around for many years and paid his dues. With a nose for musical talent, he's built many a band, always doing things his way, excellence his demand. And, you know, that just is something that you don't always see anymore in the industry, but to, you know, pay tribute to somebody who really demanded excellence and who really had high expectations for what music should be is such a wonderful and becoming a rare thing nowadays that I definitely think that he is a musician who should have a tribute written for him. And great lines all the way through. One more part I'll pick out is I did like that you mentioned where you said, with guitarists like Coco Montoya and Walter Trout keeping the music flowing, John never had a doubt. And I like that, the kind of confidence that comes through in those lines. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gene, how about you?
He remembered my name. Barely, but he remembered. I thought it was a great nod to John Mayall. Many a great name made his acquaintance, and you can read that throughout your piece. Like, I, you know, all these things are learning for me because I don't know all these details. But as you read it, you know, you can see the history. And I thought that was great. It was well-penned, great use of rhyme and meter, and it was really a nicely detailed piece. So, as always, Randy, hey, thanks for sharing with us. I like the piece very much.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you.
Anytime.
You've done some tribute pieces before, but this kind of hits the mark with everybody that you dropped in here, including some that I didn't mention, sort of a Coco Montoya and Walter Trout, Whittington, and such. It's the mark of the talent that ran through Mayall's Bluesbreakers. over the years, from those early days right on through the 70s, 80s, into the 90s. So I like the fact that you rolled around all those people that kind of gravitated, not just to the sound, but the music itself and where it came from in England in the early days. And they're no, because a lot of these guys were very young. I mean, Clapton was young. Mick Taylor was 18. You had another guy that was offered a job from the Attack, Olis, I think, back in the early days. But he turned it down, and him and Keith Emerson formed the Knights back in the day. That's in the mid-60s. But you've got Peter Green in here. These were all youngsters way back in the day, and they all went on to greater things because of their time that spent with John Mayall and in and around London at that time. So this is a great tribute piece. I think this is one of your better pieces there on the tribute angle, because it gives full light to the man himself as well as everyone else that came his way. So well done, Randy.
Thanks, Rex.
Oh, you're welcome.
Know, Buddy Whittington, he is a great guitar player, and probably one of the more unknown of all of the great guitar players that play with John Mayall. But man, he is excellent. And I think the average person doesn't realize that Peter Green was an outstanding guitar player. And the song Black Magic Woman, he wrote that song that Santana made famous, but Peter Green wrote it. So a lot of great talent there. Thanks, Rick.
Yes, Peter Green was. I mean, you look at what came out with Fleetwood Mac over the years, a little departure from his days with the blues, but he still managed to dropping in some of those chords and progressions that he was born with in the original and moved it into Fleetwood Mac, even though they did tend to move into the more popular angle of music itself.
Yeah, they started as a blues band. And,
yes, they did.
When Peter Green lost his mind and had to leave the band, that's when it began to turn more into a popular pop band that most people recognize as Fleetwood Mac.
How about it?
Absolutely. Wonderful piece there, Randy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Jane. We're back
okay.
on you.
The next piece I'm going to play is called Key to Love. I think, yes, Key to Love. Here goes.
Baby, when I find the key to love. key to love.
Good one. Good one, good one. Now, Pam, that's going to bring me to you to ask you to read this piece called Key to Love by Stalina. So whenever you're ready.
All right. What is the key to pure love? What can I say? What binds one tender soul to its mate? What opens the heart like a blossomed flower? What seeds the eyes of life's most cherished fate? In love's essence, beauty lives eternal, for its cureless bliss is beyond compare, entwined deep in a beloved's embrace, an exquisite mystery two may share. Yet perchance one loves hopelessly in vain, yearning for one blind to their mimicry. The agony twists within one's marrow, composing a sadistic symphony. For those who have found love's elusive key, know the thrill of life's sweetest reverie. End poem.
Great reading, Pam. Thank you very much. And Randy, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
Yeah, that was a great read, Pam. Yeah, I really like this. You know, it starts off with a real nice feel to it. The first stanza, what is the key to pure love? Who can say? What binds one tender soul to its mate? What opens the heart like a blossom flower? What see the eyes of life's most cherished fate? And then, you know, it goes into a more saddened approach by the end. Yes, perchance one loves hopelessly in vain, yearning for one blind to their sympathy. The agony twists within one's marrow, composing a sadistic symphony. So, it's a little poem that takes us from the ecstasy of love to the sadistic symphony, as love often does, not work out as we might think. And so it kind of, everybody doesn't necessarily find the key to love. But I thought it was very well written.
Nice. Thank you, Randy. Jean, how about you?
Well, I think that this was nicely penned by Stalina, as always. And I think it's, I like how she shows both sides of the coin here. You know, the upside, which is when you're lucky enough to actually find that angle, that key. And then how it doesn't, you know, necessarily always happen. So I think she expressed it nicely that way. You know, her rhyme is always great. Her meter is always great. You know, she's a wonderful writer. She really is. I'm surprised that there wasn't any SoundCloud to go with this, because she does such wonderful work with her audios. But yeah, I kind of like the way she led into it. What is the key to pure love? Who can say? What binds one tender soul to its mate? What opens the heart like a blossomed flower? What see the eyes of life's most cherished fate? You know, all those questions in that first stanza. And then in an attempt in the next few stanzas, she tries to answer to a good extent. And her ending lines were wonderful. You know, for those who have found elusive key, know the thrill of life's sweetest reverie. So nicely done, Stalina, and thanks for sharing with us. Great job.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, since you read it, what about you?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. As far as a sonnet goes, on both a technical and an emotional level, it's just so spot on. And beautifully written all the way through. And like Jean, I did like that Selena covers both the experience of, you know, of finding love, something you should be grateful for, and the experience that doesn't happen to everybody. And really a wonderful write on finding that key to the mystery of love and wanting to know that it's out there. But I have to say that of all the stanzas, it was the third stanza that I liked the best, with yet perchance when love hopelessly in vain, yearning for one blind to their mimpathy. I love the use of the word mimpathy because it meant I had to go look it up and learn something, which actually means after, like it's really translated as after the experience, and is the idea of the things you learn and the way and growing as a person from the experience. I also like the phrase composing a sadistic symphony. That's wonderful, gentle use of alliteration. Plus, it's that whole idea that, you know, love or the finding of love is not kind to everybody. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Yes, traditional Shakespearean sonnet. I like the opening stanza offering up four questions. That's a great way to start it. But I, too, was drawn to that third stanza because that Volta offers up the note of a twist in the storyline. But hers is a nice hard twist with the thought of those last two lines. The agony twist within one's marrow, composing a sadistic symphony. And then the finishing note in the last two lines. For those who have found love's elusive key, know the thrill of life's sweetest reverie. So you get a hard twist with the Volta in that third stanza. And then you bring it back again to those who have experienced and they understand and know what is that life's sweetest in that reverie. So nicely done, Selena, and thank you very much.
And I
back on you.
Okay. Well, I see Randy. Good
night, Randy.
Left. Have a great night, Randy. Thanks for calling. And the next piece I'm going to put up is called Keys to My Heart by Betty Page. So let me put this where I need it to be just so I can read it. Okay. Keys to My Heart by Betty Page. Ever realize how much I am in pain? Come, please help me, sweetie. Need to see you again. Crushed my soul, love, when you see me bleeding out. Life's oh so cruel, you know, so let's find a way to love. Just let's just smile, then we'll kiss. Let's love our way our fears. Life's cruel yet must get better. Let's live out our years together. Crushed my soul, love, when you see me bleeding out. Life's oh so cruel, you know we must find the keys to love. Lost in this world, I'm the girl you've waited for. Come, lover, and find me. You hold the keys to my heart. Crushed my soul, love, when you see me bleeding out. Life's oh so cruel, you know. So let's find a way to love. You hold the keys to love. Kiss me, it's the keys to my heart. Never leave me, let us never part. Sweet love, come now, just love me again. Again, again, and again. Oh, and again. End poem.
Nice read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, bring it on.
All right. Well, this is just absolutely beautiful. I'm so glad Betty was able to finish in time for the show. What a great take on the chosen prompt. A real strong emotional impact in the write. And I like how she speaks on the cruelty of life and how sometimes it can be just so mean, so unfair. But the one thing that can get you through all that is to find that love, to be surrounded by that love that touches you and moves you, both physically and emotionally. I really, really like that she softened the darkness in this with an understanding of what love is and what it should be. Let's just smile, then we'll kiss. Let's love away our fears. life's cruel yet must get better. Let's live out our years together. Crushed my soul, love, when you see me bleeding out. Life's oh so cruel, you know we must find the key to love. You know, just wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Yeah, thank you very much. And, Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was a good piece by Betty and a nice take on the prompt. I grabbed the second and third stanzas in this poem. And I'm not going to read them because I just read them. But I thought it was just a nicely done piece. And I thought it was nice. I liked the change up in the last two stanzas, how she just totally changed the whole formatting of how she posted that. And I thought it made it a little bit, I don't know if I want to say unique or if I want to say clever, because it definitely, it would catch your attention when you're reading through. You'd see it and you go, oh, something different's coming. But nice work, Betty, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Nice job.
Nice. This kind of walks the same path as Selena's does, except Martin's on the phone, and she did walk that note to the twist, so to speak, in those last two lines of the first three stanzas. Crushed my soul, love, when you see me bleeding out. Life's oh so cruel, you know, so let's find a way to love. Nice, but I do like that opening note, too. Ever realize how much I am in pain? Come, help, please help me, sweetie. Need to see you again. And then that second stanza rolls into a softening note. Let's just smile, then we'll kiss. Let's love our way our fears. And then rolling about that. Life's cool, yet must get better. Let's live out our years together. And then the third one kind of walks into another note of being a little more happier, so to speak. Lost in this world, I'm the girl you've waited for. Come, lover, and find me. You hold the keys to my heart. And then, as you point out, Jean, the last two are done strictly on those keys itself. Kiss me. It's the keys to my heart. Never leave me. Let it never part. Sweet love, come now. Just love me again, 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 and again. Ooh, and again. So you've gone from the pain up top to the help washing away the fear in the second, down into that third note of you hold the keys to my heart. So take advantage, open up that lock, and let's move into that next realm where the last two stanzas meet. So very well done, Betty, and a different take, as Jean said. I like the back down approach. It worked well.
Absolutely. Okay, well, the next song I'm going to play is called Parchment Farm. And Rex, I'm going to step away too, but I have the piece ready to go up afterwards.
Okay,
so, thank you. Okay.
Well, I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. Parchment Farm ain't never done no man no harm. But I'm from that kind and live for sex. But I'm from that kind and live for sex. But I'm from that kind and live for sex. Go get shotgun at my back. Thank you. from Parks and Park. But I'm sitting over here on Parks and Park, ain't never done no man no harm.
I like that.
That is a good one. I like
absolutely
that, the train whistle sound.
That harmonica playing, just it kind of fits the mode of something a little, well, not just lighter, but almost homespun, so to speak.
Yeah. I will agree.
And?
Okay.
Oh, and again, Peter
doesn't
use
the... Oh, I didn't know you were
going to
be back.
Yeah, yeah, Peter doesn't use the right to the songs he writes for stuff. I matched this one up for his piece. So it's called Wait for the Ricochet by Peter Solway. Pebble in musical puddle, John Mayall, Deep Purple, ripples of limited Alzheimer's, diagnosis of doctor, what's her name, baby boomer, old fossil, scratching at ancient recordings, when hits were loud and young, drugs working, acid coming on. Sweet child in time, getting close to the stereo, once upon a recorded evening, this teen alone. Cream with Clapton, white rooms, in my white room, concrete curtains. Now all dinosaurs gone, media shots. Black dock into hip-hop. And boom. All right, PM.
All right. Well, great read there, Rex. You know, I thought this was really an amazing write with great imagery, clever wordplay, as always, from Peter, who says, by the way, thank you for the contest to help him blow his trumpets and bang some drums. you know, I like how he speaks on the changing landscape of music throughout the decades and how it applies, I think, to me, in general, to our individual lives, but also applies to history. I like the wordplay of Sweet Child in Time, making me think of the song Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. I also really like how he does, within only a few stanzas, take us through a lot of the history of music. And how we go to from, you know, the blues rock of the 1960s of John Mayall, and then bringing us into the rock and roll, like Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses of the 1980s, early 90s, and then to hip-hop. And it's kind of like having this map drawn out of music and musical history. I did particularly like the mention of Cream and the white rooms, because I think that is like, the song, In the White Room with Black Curtains is like one of the coolest ever. But I also like where he says, now all dinosaurs gone, because it's sad, but it's true, because as we've talked about before, we've lost a lot of really brilliant musicians, especially within this last couple of years. So great write and very well done.
I think that title, Wait for the Ricochet, kind of hits on the note of some things that come back around, so to speak, and you hit on that thought right up top. Pebble in musical puddles. There is a note to when you toss a pebble, that's a note to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, too. The note of when you toss a pebble into a stream or, well, not a stream, a puddle or a lake, you watch the ripples expanding out. And then he hits on that note right after with John Mayall. And then Deep Purple, a note to Deep Purple back in the day, Ritchie Blackmore, another great guitarist. And then the note to baby boomers, late 50s into the early 60s, old fossils scratching ancient recordings. The note to how we listened to music back in the day. On a record, you got those little scratches and pops. They added a touch of reality in the moment of how everything was done back in the day. When hits were loud and young, drugs working, acid coming on, note to the mid to late 60s right there. You hit that idea of Sweet Child in Time, yes. Getting Close to the Stereo, Once Upon a Recorded Evening, this Tina Alone, the idea of how we listened to the music back in the day. I did like the back end. It's Cream with Clapton, White Rooms, In My White Room, Concrete Curtains, the idea of kind of city living. Concrete curtains are the notes of the buildings that surround one in that note. And again, you hit that Now All Dinosaurs Gone, Media Shot, that idea of the ever-changing mode of the music itself. And also a kind of note to it's getting lost in the mix. It needs to be revived once more because, hey, when you find the music that actually speaks to multiple generations across all genres, then you need to bring it back to life once more. You can't let that angle of music die, even though you've got the new age of everything's got to be electronic and there's no real feeling in it, and everything's being auto-tuned, so you don't get the real gist of the music within a true voice in that moment. So nice, Tita, and thank you very much.
Very cool. Very cool, guys. Very cool. So the next musical piece.
Wait, it's the top of the hour. So why don't we play one of those pieces that didn't get right to?
Sure. Let me see now. I'll start with the first one, and this is All Your Love. So here goes.
All alone.
That was a cover of Otis Rush's song from back in the day, and his sound was known as the West Side Chicago Blues because he had a slow burning sound, and he relied heavy on bent notes that you got to hear Clapton play on just now. So, and he was also one of the influences for Peter Green and Eric Clapton in stylings.
All right. Very good.
Ooh.
You're just all full of the info.
Check out the kitty.
I know, the bobbin head, yeah.
I just thought, well, that goes good with that song.
There you go.
I was going to show off some of my own dance moves, but I figured nobody pays to see that, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no. One never knows, fam. One never knows.
That's true.
Okay. Well, the next song I'm going to put up is called, I forget. It's been a while. It's called It Ain't Right. See? And It Ain't Right. And here we go. Pam, this is called Systemic Blues by Jenny the Deep. So whenever you're ready.
Chaotic calamity is causing cranium catastrophe as I fall into an endless abyss of insanity, wishing for amnesia or a brain aneurysm before I end up confined again in a mental asylum. What's left of my oxygen is now depleting. Past wounds are cut back open, forever bleeding. I can't keep up this facade. charismatically singing, not when the pain within is ever so excruciating. Systemic anguish spreads me thin as cancerous thoughts enter my head again. In this life, nothing is as what it seems, and as long as I'm here breathing, I'll never be angst-free. No, this mortal life is not for me. End poem.
Great read, Lynn. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. Bring on the blues.
Wow. Yeah, systemic blues. I mean, this is straight from deep inside. It was built in, part of you. You know, I find it to be a, I thought it was a unique way to put it, you know. It's like having, oh, never mind, I can't think of it now. It went out of my head. See, I'm with you. Canic calamity is causing cranium catastrophe as I fall into an endless abyss of insanity, wishing for amnesia or a brain aneurysm before I end up confined again in a mental asylum. You know, it is, she's talking about how it's building again, how she's basically losing it again. You know, how, you know, you can feel the pressure building in the thoughts. And I thought that that was nicely done. It was well put together in that respect. Yeah, systemic anguish spreads me thin as cancerous thoughts enter my head again. You know, it definitely, you know, has a, at the risk of sounding silly, a deep-rooted thought process, you know, where it's just there, and it's coming to the surface again, and, you know, and then we'll back it down maybe, and then it'll build again. I mean, that's what I got from it. So I think it was a nicely done piece, Jenny, and a clever take on the prompt. So thanks for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Mm-hmm. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, this was a wonderful dark write. I like what Gene had to say because her comment made me think about how it speaks on the kind of depression that's, you know, either inherited because, you know, oftentimes depression does run in families. Especially, you know, if you have the imbalance going on with the chemicals in your body, but it also can be passed along just because of, you know, what your childhood was like, as, you know, abusive situations are often passed from generation to generation. But, yeah, extremely dark and intense. I like how she writes about somebody who would rather face completely knowing nothing at all than to know the emotional pain. You know, like they're pretty harsh lines, but at the same time, I think they speak well on that idea with wishing for amnesia or a brain aneurysm before I end up confined again in a mental asylum. That idea of rather be wiped out physically than to have to deal with loss of your, you know, sanity. And I did like the phrase, systemic anguish spreads me thin as cancerous thoughts enter my head again. And I like that she compares the depression, the anxiety, the anger and sadness to a physical disease. So I thought cancerous thoughts was a really great choice for word phrasing. Excellent writing, very well done.
Nice. Well, systemic blues is a nice touch, but I think the literality of the blues walks within this itself because of the language notes and because of the strength and how it walks itself. It kind of hits me at that note of understanding the highs and lows, and you're at that point where you haven't quite hit the lows yet, but you know that bipolar transgression is coming aboard the crazy train going south, so to speak, and you go from those that even keel or higher than highs, but then you're running hell bent for leather into that direction of deep, progressive blues, the kind that haunts you in the middle of the night, that gives you that note to insanity. We're looking at that brain aneurysm, opening up those old wounds once more, and how it spreads one's thin to the point where if the cancerous thoughts are allowed once more to reveal themselves in the moment and drive you headlong into that pit of despair. I like this was dark, but not so dark that you couldn't understand the note to where it was going. So, well done, Jen. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Jean.
Yes, I am ready. I lied. No, the next song I'm going to put up is called Another Man. So, here goes.
Another man I'm gone. Another man I'm gone. Another man done gone, another man done gone, another man done gone. On the county phone, he's on the county phone, he's on the county phone, he's on the county phone.
Singularity in the moment with just a hand clap for the background notes to actuality. And that was that was a John Mayall tune back early in the day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the first piece that goes with this is by Sour J, and it's called Stuck on Loop But Fading. And we have an audio for this, so let me put that on.
Great read there, Sal J. Thank you for the sound clap. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam, bring it on.
All right. Well, I have to say that rocked with the music and the singing and the whole kind of it almost like it mixed like punk and blues together, which was a really cool sound there. And I really like how he tells a story, both with the lyrics and the music, on the idea of growing up in an environment where one constantly is either in fight or flight mode, as the hate burns around you. And he shows the different characters' reaction, you know, like with the little brother done smoke his last straw. You know, that just that idea of giving in, I get the impression of giving in to drugs. Daddy fought them all with his muscle, and Mom and I ran for 20 miles without any shoes. We knew he was leaving tracks. We didn't know they weren't ours. And I really, I mean, I know I've probably taken up 75% of the poem, but it's hard to separate one line from the next. But I will say that I really like those end lines and the idea that oftentimes we tell a story, or we think we're telling a story that is ours alone, and it turns out to be a story that many throughout history have lived. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I thought it was a dark piece and well done. Make sure I'm not on mute before I say another word. And I thought it was a cool take on the prompt. And it was a great share, a good addition to the show tonight. Definitely a novel type of piece, because it was so different than everything else we've heard. And like Pam said, it was kind of a cross between like punk and, you know, the blues. And it had a unique sound to it. And I thought it was well done. So thanks for sharing, Sour J.
Yes, and he traded on the hand clapping and speeded up that note for the background in this. Now, the title itself offers up a note to what's really going on, but you get a note to it as well with that first line. Mama always said, don't be no gutter boy. So there's a warning, and that note to, you got to be better than what is, so to speak. And then, deep in the methane fields, we were city folk. Methane fields, and hits me, especially with that note, the last drop, and hits me up with the idea of methamphetamine, smoking methamphetamine. And they wasn't friendly to our shade. Again, people don't understand who and what we are. She said, run like the wind, and a reference point, again, to the don't be no gutter boy, run like the wind, get away, get out of the city, get out of this environment. And then little brother smoked his last straw, burnt to life at the age of 4. That kind of hits me with the idea of burnt out mentally, as well as what it does to you physically. Brain smeared on the cottage. Again, that hits with a note of what comes across in the valley when one gets into that note of being on that loop. And then Mama and I ran for 20 miles without any shoes. We knew we was leaving tracks. We didn't know they weren't ours. There's a sad note, too, that hits on the idea of death in the moment. You might be running that note to the hamster wheel, so to speak, but you're not leaving any tracks because you're not going anywhere. You're stuck in that same loop, but now the edge of time is fading for you because life is short. And it only ends up one way. So, thank you, Jay. I like that.
Okay. Let me see now. I have the next piece for you, Rex. And this is called Working 9 Till 5 by D.W. London. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Working 9 till 5 by D.W. London. Imprisoned in this ivory tower, neck tied and zapped with the power, misplaced in the hustle and bustle, need to find some other hustle. Discontented being a slave to time, getting older now, losing my prime, longing for a brighter day, I just need to get away. A fat cat sits on his throne, a bastard with a golden crown, with the power to ruin my existence, I'll shatter these chains with resistance. Reflecting with dark discontent, unfulfilled dreams I once dreamt, time to confront what lies ahead, embracing a future of hope, not dread. Time to light the fire, take off sore, leave the old in the rear view, run and slam the door, to embark on a new journey of discovery. Chasing dreams could be my path to recovery and home. All right, Jean.
Well, first off, I like the rhyme and meter of the piece. I'm trying to go where I want to go with this. I like doing nothing is very hard to do. You never know when you're finished. Yeah, I can relate to that. But I don't know. It was a good take on the prompt. I have to kind of get my head together here. Discontented being a slave to time, getting older now, losing my prime, longing for a brighter day, I just need to get away. A fat cat sits on his throne, a bastard with a golden crown, with the power to ruin my existence. I'll shatter these chains with resistance. It's definitely, a fight back kind of piece. Whatever you do, we're going to undo it. At least that's what I'm getting. But nicely written piece. And, yeah, the background totally got me distracted. I have to say that.
Oh, my goodness. That background is definitely something.
It keeps drawing my eyes away from the poem. It's crazy. And I keep going, okay, maybe it's just me. I'm glad it's not just me. It's me in pants.
It is not just you.
I made it really large, though, so I have a lot less background, thank goodness. But, yeah, I think it's really a good write. And, I like what he has to say in it. I just, it's just a lot of different scenarios and spots on it. And I think, basically what I said is it kind of, sets it off. He was inspired by prompt 4 and kind of related it to himself, sort of. And he starts laughing. But I think it's just a well-done piece. So nice job, DW, and thank you for sharing.
Nice. All right, Pam. What about you?
Oh, this has great rhyme and flow. And as I said in the room, that title just makes me want to break out and start singing like Dolly Parton, if only I could. But I really like this. A wonderful rhyming poem, a great message. I like how it speaks on the futility of having dreams as a common man when you live within a society where the rich make money off of the backs of the poor. And I think that especially comes through in those lines that Jean quoted with a fat cat sits on his throne. But I also really like the opening with imprisoned in this ivory tower, neck tied and zapped of power, misplaced in the hustle and bustle, need to find some other hustle. I like the neck tied phrase, because that's not only the idea of having to always wear a necktie and dress a certain way, but the idea of basically being so miserable that you want to just hang yourself. And I like how this speaks on the ending, also speaks on that new journey of discovery, of hope, of no longer making about what you're doing for somebody else, but finding that work that, makes it about doing something that you love to do, something that gives you fulfillment and happiness. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. I'm going to go. This is a companion piece to a Sour Jays. It walks the same tone, but on a different motif, so to speak. Like I said, that note to the hamster wheel, it's more in front with this piece. Being a slave to time, getting older now, losing my prime, longing for a brighter day. I just need to get away. And that note, reflecting with dark discontent, unfulfilled dreams I once dreamt, time to confront what lies ahead, embracing a future of hope, not dread. The idea of being, logistically speaking, trapped in, as he said, those ivory towers, those tall buildings where everything is reflected outward, but the sunshine and what is meant with we should be enjoying the vitamin D enrichment of sunshine. You don't get to see because you're trapped within this block of concrete and steel that rises towards the sky. You might be heavenward in that notion of sitting within that tower itself, but you're nothing more than a ground floor person when it comes to reality because of the what rolls down from the top. Because shit always rolls downhill, and you're always at the whim and the mercy of those who hold the power in the moment. And that the back and the last one. Time to light the fire, take off, soar, leave the old in the rear view, run, slam the door, to embark on a new journey of discovery. Chasing dreams could be my path to recovery. Again, that note of addiction, addicted to the note that you have to do this in order to have this because you have to feed, clothe, and house yourself, family, so to speak. Yet, you're at the mercy and the whims of those who hold real power. So that note of still stuck in that bubble of city life and addicted, but in a different way. So, Asti done, DW. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next piece I'm going to play is called Have You Heard? And let me put that up.
Thank you. go? Where'd she go? I just don't know.
Now that was wicked.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Traditional stylings in the blues, mixed with a touch of jazz with the sax and horns in the background, and Clapton was blistering on that guitar solo, so nice piece.
Absolutely. Now, the poem that goes with that is called "Oh, You Heard" by Jessica C. Wheeler. And I'm going to give this one a read. You heard about my grave offense, as twisted as your grapevine, how I left him high and dry to quench his thirsty quest and questions with your pity. And what you've heard, I won't contest or try, denying daybreak's ditch, departing with no warning or words left behind inside my closet cleared. The howl that you hear whines true. Indeed, I was miles and hours gone prior to his post-noon rise. From the covers he cocoons to then spend an evening beating my betrayal melodically into your eardrums. You heard with relish claims of all my crimes, indeed committed, but offer the accused your ear as ransom to release my words held hostage and allow my match to spark your day's first hit of hearsay. The truth can very well be seen, plain as a sunset view, but overlook the panorama, and you will fail to see the picture's other half. Catch up on morning scenery, and it may just enlighten what transpired on the post and prior solar cycle stayed through. You heard his baby left him with the rising sun. It's true. But his dreary, gloomy sun has set to take light off of the day. One can only be let down and down and down again on sunless nights before they finally wake sun up and leave him high and dry. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, bring it on.
Oh, this was really wonderful all the way through. I like the imagery and the metaphors, the emotional impact and lines, and the bit of sense of humor that comes through. I like how she writes on the thought that, you know, oftentimes people love to start gossip after getting just one side of the story, and there's such great bite to her lines. I did like where she says in the beginning, you heard about my grave offense as twisted as your grapevine. I thought that was a nice nod to the song I Heard It Through the Grapevine, which is really cool. And I like that she brings in the howl, like the nod. That's great because it's like a nod to the actual howl sound within the music. The howl that you hear whines true. Indeed, I was miles and hours gone prior to this post-noon rise in the cover he cocoons to then spend an evening beating my betrayal melodically into your eardrums. And I like that because, you know, it's that thought of, you know what, you're getting to hear all this wonderful blues music because I broke this guy's heart. But you know what, as she gets to the end, she reminds us that, you know, it takes two to play, you know, and you need both sides of a story. But oftentimes, you know what, people just don't want to hear that. They want to hear the side that gets them the most gossip going on within their community. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thanks, Dan. Jane, how about you?
You know, I thought it was a great piece. I like how, you know, she puts it out there. You know, you're only hearing the one side. You're not hearing this other side. And she hints to it, but she doesn't really get into it deeply. So I like the way that was done. It reminds me of something I've lived through. Just saying. You know, you go on and on and on, and hey, you tell your side, but the other side's not really being brought to light. And then, like, there was a reference here. Looking for it. Yeah, you know, she goes on about, and what you've heard, I won't contest or try denying daybreak stitch, departing with no warning, or words left behind inside my closet cleared. The how that you hear winds true indeed. I was miles and hours gone. Prior to his post-noon rise from the covers, he cocoons, to then spend an evening beating my betrayal melodically into your eardrums. You know, he's going to sit there, you know, his habits are like he doesn't get up until after noon, and, you know, he does what he wants, and, you know, enough's enough, and she was out of there, but now he has your ear, and he's going to continually tell you all about it. And I think that, you know, she put it well. You know, and she, I don't know, she poetried it up, and I like it. So nicely done, Jessica. I really like this piece. Great job.
Yes. This does work as a nice companion piece to the original, offering up, oh, yes, you have heard. But it does walk that tone in telling a story through blues and offering up that note. Yeah, this is that companion piece. This is that answer to the song you're hearing. And this could be played out along that very same line of dropping as that song goes. It's something real slow. It tells its own story and walks that line of what's happening in real time or what did happen in real time, but now offering up the back end of what did walk and how all of this came about. And why on the back end? One can only be let down and down and down again on sunless nights before they finally wake, sun up, and leave him high and dry. So I could, somebody with a bold character walk this this note to music, put some nice blues, something really slow, so you lay out the story in a nice... visceral manner would be a cool. I like it for what it is. Thank you, Jess.
Absolutely. Okay. Now, the next piece I'm going to play is called Double Crossing. And let me hit the button.
fucking ominous in that note.
Absolutely. Okay, now the piece that I have that goes with that song, I don't know. Well, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read it. It's called Betrayal Blues by Pam Ray.
All right. Betrayal blues, it speaks to me. The words are oh so dark. I'm sitting in the lonely corner without a bit of spark. Everyone is out to get each other. They all are playing games. No one true when it comes to love. Now isn't that a shame? And honey, you're the worst of all with all your cruel intent. Trusted my heart to you. Now it's broken, bruised, and bent. The city streets of neon shadows where human monsters stalk and feelings are ripped apart like bodies lined in chalk. Pool sharks and gamblers lined up in a row, but the coldest acts of deceit come from those you think you know. I thought I knew what love was as I followed falsehood's clues, but now I'm wailing with guitar chords, the rhythm of the blues. No more love belongs to me. In this urban land, there is no trust, just all the pretty little lies in a world that seems unjust. I'm hurting and I'm lonely, humming those cruel betrayal blues, realizing a broken heart keeps beating in a haunting variety of hues. End poem.
Great job, Pam.
Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
I like this one, Pam. I liked it. I liked it. I liked the rhyme. I liked the meter. I love the way you move the piece forward. I think that each of your stanzas they were all pretty much standalone. I mean, they all had a mark, you know? Bam, bam, bam. You know, I grabbed up the last three. I thought I knew what love was as I followed falsehood's clues, but now I'm wailing with guitar chords. The rhythm of the blues. No more love belongs to me in this urban land. There is no trust. Just all the pretty little lies in a world that seems unjust. I'm hurting and I'm lonely, humming those cruel betrayal blues, realizing a broken heart keeps beating in a haunting variety of hues. Great job all the way through. I could have grabbed any combination of stanzas here and been just as satisfied to say, hey, I like these. But I grabbed those because I thought they were they kind of hit with the prompt, and I think it hit those notes more in those last three. So that's the only reason I grabbed those three. So excellent job, and thanks for sharing, Pam. Well done.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, this kind of walks the same thought of the last piece with Jessica. I hold that note to wanting music to fill the background out so it can be wrought in live motif. And there's a couple of bits in this that are really cool. The city streets of neon shadows where human monsters stalk and feelings are ripped apart like bodies lined in chalk. Boy, it's a visceral viewpoint. Pool sharks and gamblers lined up in a row, but the coldest acts of deceit come from those you think you know. That note of the next this week, people don't really stab you in the back. People who know you or you think you know them, they're the ones that actually stab you in the front, so to speak. And then the knife ends up in the back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Rex.
Oh, you're welcome. This works on that note to blues because it sings itself all the way through like that. The words are so dark. I'm sitting in a lonely corner without a bit of spark. Now, that's a great way to start off. It hints at it lays out the blues right there at the beginning. So you get that slow note and beat of what the blues is supposed to be all about on the original angle of the blues itself, telling a story and laying out the hate.
Amen to that. So true. And thank you for the inspiration.
Okay, great job. Great job. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is called Ramblin' on My Mind. And here we go.
Trend that carried on later through his life, because this was one of Clapton's tributes to the late great Robert Johnson and his love of his music. And it also marks the first time Clapton puts voice to the words and the music itself.
Nice. Oh, and I almost put up the wrong poem. That would have been really silly, wouldn't it? Okay, let me go grab the right one. And Rex, this is going to be for you to read. And that was funny. Okay. I'm such a creature of habit. Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Rex, this one is for you to read, if you do not mind.
All righty. A Long Train Ride by Jody Melton. In the shattered recesses of my heart, a beast as well, named Fear, its whispers a relentless tolling bell. Catapulted from a woman, unkind, fear crept in, unleashed its bind, a usurper in the corner of my trembling mind, a relentless pursuer, never far behind. For years, I fled its grip, a ghost within the night, through the winding paths of sorrow, out of reach, out of sight, a fugitive of my own soul, seeking refuge, seeking light, from the agony within, that eternal silent fight. But today, that dawn breaks different, a change within the air, no longer shall I run from the darkness of despair. The ground beneath me steadies as I take a stand, with a newfound courage, I refuse to let fear command. I face the beast within, our eyes lock in a silent duet. No longer shall I be its pawn, its unwitting, fearful tool. That pain that once consumed me, a fire burning bright, transforms into a strength, a beacon in the night. Today, I do not falter, nor do I break or bend, for I've learned that even the darkest nights eventually end. I embrace the pain within, its searing, aching trace, and in the heart of fear, itself, I find a sacred space. For in facing what I feared the most, I've come to understand that fear is but a shadow cast by my own hand. And in the light of courage, its power wanes and thins, for the battle was not with the beast, but the fear that dwelled within. So here I stand unyielding, in the face of night's cold breeze, where I am more than my fears, more than my unease. Today, I stare down fear, and in its gaze I do not blink, for I am forged in the fires of pain, stronger than I think. A long train ride on the rails of my mind, and to think it all started with a woman unkind. And poem. All right, Jean. There you go.
You know, I like this piece from beginning to end. And I want to grab a couple of stanzas. The only problem is I want this one from all the way up there and that one from all the way down there, because the story told is wonderful. I shouldn't say it's wonderful. The story is the story. You know, we can only tell so many different things in our lifetimes, you know. But the way he says things is great in this. You know, in the shadowed recesses of my heart, a beast does dwell, named fear, its whispers, a relentless tolling bell. Catapulted from a woman unkind, fear crept in and unleashed its bind. A usurper in the corner of my trembling mind, a relentless pursuer, never far behind. You know, so he starts out right there, you know, and someone has done him wrong at some point or another. But originally I had highlighted the next two stanzas to grab because I thought they were a wonderful, peak to the points being made. But then it got down further and I'm going, no, I don't think they're going to work, you know? I don't know. There's so many great spaces in this poem that I think were just well written and well expressed. You know, I face the beast within, our eyes lock in silent duel. No longer shall I be its pawn, its unwitting, fearful tool. The pain that once consumed me, a fire burning bright, transforms into a strength, a beacon in the night. You know, because from being hurt, you know, you live and you learn and you take that lesson with you and you're stronger and, you know, you're more capable of taking on the next challenge, you know, or standing up to the next thing that would normally trigger you, you know. And I think that it just goes down like that. And I think that, I don't know. I don't know what more to say because I could just keep picking stanzas and then Pam would say, Christ, you didn't leave me anything. I know how Pam is. See, that's what she'd say. She'd say,
well, thankfully, Jody writes pretty long poems, so.
Okay, what are you trying to say, Pam? No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, and then again, I love his ending stanza because I think he tied that in wonderfully to the first stanza. So the whole thing is just really well put together, and I thought it was well expressed and a great take on the prompt. So wonderful job, Jody, and thanks for putting it up tonight. Great. Yeah, it was a great addition to the show and the contest, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm shutting up now.
All right, Pam.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. Great rhyme and flow. There's just something about trains and blues music that just go together so well. You know, the whole idea of, hopping the train and riding out of town and, you know, while you're singing that blues. And I really like how he brings fear to life. And, you know, this is great rhyme and flow, wonderful heartfelt lines. You know, it's an excellent write on facing our fears and moving forward after experiencing heartbreak. And I like how the character within the write, they find this idea that, yeah, you know, there's someone who is unkind to me started this fear. But I'm responsible for moving forward. I'm responsible for, you know, taking action for my life. And so that's why I really like the third and fourth stanzas. And especially, I face the beast within, our eyes lock in a silent duel. No longer shall I be its pawn, its unwitting, fearful tool. The pain that once consumed me, a fire burning bright, transforms into a strength, a beacon in the night. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. I think the way Jody writes fits the blues motif, so to speak. I face the beast within. Our eyes lock in a silent doom. No longer shall I be its pawn, its unwitting, fearful tool. The pain that once consumed me, a fire burning bright, transforms into a strength, a beacon in the night. He's got that right tempo and flow, and then finish out with, so here I stand unyielding in the face of night's cold breeze, for I am more than my fears, more than my unease. Today I stare down fear, and in its gaze I do not blink, for I am forging fires of pain stronger than I think. A long train rides on the rails of my mind, and to think it all started with a woman unkind. The way he plays out his lines and his rhyme fits the blues motif. So nicely done, Jody. Thank you very much. Ah, damn, we're at the back end already.
Yep.
Great show, Gene. Thank you very much. And thank you, Pam and Randy, for coming on board. Robbie, Quicken, Harmo, and Jessica, thank you all for the boards. Had a blabber's time this evening. Great music. And we'll do this again next week because it's St. Paddy's Day.
Yes. Yes. Face in the garden.
What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? Early in the morning.
What's that got to do with the story?
You shave his belly with a rusty razor. Early in the morning.
Oh, my God. Okay, Rex. Well, look, it was a great show tonight. Great prompts. And I look forward to next Sunday. It should be fun. And, yes. And I will see you on Friday, if not before. Stay out of trouble. Stay warm. Okay.
I'm going to try. Yep.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay,
thank you, Rex. Night.
Bye. Bye.